First of all, a brief reminder, although the time is so short, be sure to make a good confession. And then, as you know, we have a question and answer period, and as I tell people, stuff the question box. Make the questions as precise and definite as possible. Our reflections during this retreat are on the Holy Spirit. What I wish to concentrate on during the less than 2 days that we have is what the Holy Spirit has given us and in the teaching of the Catholic Church. There are three blessings, supernatural blessings, which the Holy Spirit has given to us. The Holy Spirit has given us the virtues, called theological virtues, of faith, hope, and charity. The virtues are the powers we receive. In faith, the power to believe in everything which God has revealed. Faith corresponds in the supernatural life to the mind or the intellect in our natural life. Hope is the virtue or power of trusting in God, trusting He will give us the strength we need to remain faithful to His will. And charity is the virtue that we receive when we are baptized. And virtue is power. Virtus in Latin means power. Power in the mind to believe, and power in the will to hope and love. And I keep repeating, the power to believe what is beyond human comprehension to understand. The power to trust against all human hearts, and above all, the power to love. What a statement. The power to love the unlovable. In Christianity, there is no one who is unlovable. We are to love everyone. Those are the powers that we receive when we are baptized. And I repeat, from the Holy Spirit. But then we receive what we call the gifts of the Holy Spirit. There are 7. Over the years, I've learned to assign 1 gift of the Holy Spirit for every day of the week. Sunday, the gift of wisdom. Monday, the gift of understanding. Tuesday, the gift of knowledge. Wednesday, the gift of counsel. Thursday, the gift of fortitude. Friday, the gift of piety, and Saturday, the gift of the fear of the Lord. How do the gifts of the Holy Spirit differ from the virtues? Virtues are the powers, the ability to believe and trust and love. The gifts, on the other hand, we call the inclinations, the urges to put the virtues into practice. For example, humanly speaking, our bodies would starve to death unless, well, we ate and drank what we need to sustain our bodies. So in the supernatural life, the Holy Spirit gives us, I repeat, the urges, the inclinations, call them the supernatural instincts to put the virtues into practice. And then, without going through all the 12 gifts of the Holy Spirit, and there are 12. Did I say gifts? No. The 12 fruits of the Holy Spirit. The fruits of the Holy Spirit are the satisfaction, the joy, supernaturally speaking, the pleasure we receive by putting the virtues into practice. Where the gifts are the inclinations, the fruits are the satisfaction we receive from putting the virtue that we receive when we were baptized into practice. God wants us to enjoy, and I mean to enjoy, our doing His will and the enjoyments, in the plural, that we experience by practicing the virtues which the Holy Spirit infused into our souls. The satisfactions are called the fruits of the Holy Spirit. So much for a brief overview. And we now have just a little over one full day for the retreat. And the subject of our reflections, as we said last night, is an ocean. I thought, therefore, I would concentrate first on the virtues which the Holy Spirit gives us when we receive the sacrament of baptism. And as we know, the first and most fundamental of those supernatural virtues or superhuman powers is faith. Our meditation, therefore, this morning will be on the virtue of faith. Immediately we must distinguish between faith as a natural possession of every human being. We all naturally, spontaneously believe. Over the years I've told people I'm not too happy with the Greek philosopher's definition of man. Aristotle defines a human being as a rational animal. I've dealt with too many human beings not to know that not all human beings are rational animals. I don't mean just those who are institutionalized. Having served as chaplain while teaching at the State University in Michigan, I was the Catholic chaplain for the, shall I call them, the inmates in the state hospital. But not all irrational people are in mental institutions. How well I know. Consequently, my preferred definition of a human being, a human being is a believing animal. We are animals. We have a body. But we are believers, spontaneously, instinctively, naturally. What do we know which we have not acquired by faith? We introduce a mother to someone. Can you imagine telling someone, now this is the lady who I believe is my mother? But we believe that the person we call our mother is our mother. Most of what we know, we believe. We believe the words of someone whose judgment and integrity we trust. However, we are talking about supernatural faith, where we believe not in the words of another human being, but we believe the Word of God, and that is the virtue of faith that we receive the moment we are baptized. Over the years in teaching theology, I found it useful to always define the language that I use. What then is this supernatural virtue of faith, which the first and primary benefit we receive from the Holy Spirit? Without faith, everything else in Christianity is absolutely meaningless. Call it divine faith. Divine faith is the virtue or power which enables us to assent with our intellect to the truths revealed by God, not because we comprehend them, but only on the authority of God, who can neither deceive nor be deceived. There is no more important sentence in Christianity than the long sentence I've just shared with you. Let me repeat. Divine faith is the virtue which enables us to ask sin with our intellects. To the truth revealed by God, not because we comprehend them, but only on the authority of God, who can neither deceive nor be deceived. Over the years, I have given 8 full days retreats, 5 meditations a day, all on this one subject of faith. Over the years, in teaching my own Jesuits their theology, I would teach them 2 semesters, 3 one-hour classes every week, 15 weeks each semester, last 30 weeks, exclusively on the subject of faith. What are we saying? We are saying that when we were baptized, the Holy Spirit infused, that's the virtue which the Holy Spirit had to put into our minds. We believe with our mind, and more clearly with the intellect. As I've said to some of you so often, the English language is, and I mean it, the worst language in the world to teach Catholic Christianity. For the last huge, unabridged English dictionary was being published, after spending millions of dollars in research, the editor decided it is no longer possible to define a single word in the English language. The best you can do is describe how words are used. No wonder there is such widespread confusion in a country like ours. 10 people hear the same word, and they understand the word in 10 different ways. What then is faith? Faith as a supernatural virtue, as when the Holy Spirit gives our intellects, our minds, to assent. We assent with our minds. We consent with our wills. Assent with our minds to everything which God has revealed. Where has God revealed? He has revealed in sacred scripture, and hear it, and in sacred tradition. We are not Protestants. We are Catholics. Not everything which God has revealed is in the Bible. Faith, therefore, is the superhuman power that the Holy Spirit gave us, I repeat, when we were baptized, to accept, assent with our minds to everything which God has revealed. not because we comprehend it. Watch it. Comprehension means full understanding. There is nothing, comma, nothing, comma, nothing in our faith that we fully understand. Which means comprehend. But still, we accept on the Word of God, not because we comprehend, but because God, who can neither deceive nor be deceived, has told us it is true. Now, some of the qualities of this fundamental power we received from the Holy Spirit when we were baptized. The first quality of our faith is submission of our minds to the mind of God. And I mean submission. I taught my own Jesuits their theology for 25 years. And over the centuries, we have chosen to accept those men into the Society of Jesus who had well above average intelligence. Very well. But how well I know the more naturally intellectual a person is, the harder it is for that person to submit his or her intellect to the mind of God. Oh, the humility of mind we need to believe. And this, my friends, in one declarative sentence, is the reason for the gravest crisis in the history of Catholic Christianity. What is the main reason for this crisis? Well, highly educated minds refusing to submit like a child to what God has revealed, but I don't get it. I don't comprehend it. And I'm to believe, but I'm an adult. I finished college. Well, in my case, I finished college before I entered the Society of Jesus. And then, 15 years after entering the Society of Jesus, I finally began to teach. I'd like to ask this question. Some of you have heard this more than once. There are two questions. Just nod your heads, either this way or this way. Are all educated people intelligent? Thanks. The most stupid fools, I know them, are those with bright, shining doctorates, professors at all leading universities. A child that has the true faith, 10 years old, is more intelligent than an unbelieving genius of 60. Faith gives us knowledge that no natural intelligence can provide. Do I ever know that? Next question. The first was whether all educated people are intelligent. You shook your head. Of all the intelligent people educated, my mother never finished the fifth grade in grammar school in Europe. A highly intelligent person. I want to stress the superhuman intelligence which our faith provides. And among the lies that have seduced millions in a country like ours is to identify intelligence with education. That is a lie. Our faith gives us knowledge, deep, clear, uncompromising knowledge provides the human mind with such intelligence as no human education can provide. But back to the first condition, we must bend these minds of ours to the mind of God. Only an insane person, hear it, only an insane person is an unbeliever, but watch it. If we're even rational, we believe. Believe, do I say? The average expenditure on advertising in our country, the latest figures, $170 billion every year spent on advertising in our country. As I've said so often, my favorite definition of advertising is what gets people to buy what they don't need with money they don't have. Talk about being deceived. We believe, but here, the virtue of faith gives us the power to believe in God. And St. John asks, how is it that we are so ready to believe in human beings, are so slow to believe in God? We are describing this first power, the power of faith, which the Holy Spirit gave us when we were baptized. The power to assent, but hear it, voluntarily, to assent freely, to assent with our full liberty, as I'm sure Not a few. Your mothers know. Your children, they were baptized and received the power to believe. But as they grew up and their minds were exposed to so much untruth, remember in Chicago having dinner with a couple, 7 children, and the mother in tears said, all our 7 children have left the Catholic Church. And the father added, and all 7 are educated in Catholic schools. The word Catholic in old vocabulary so often has to be put in quotation marks. The Catholic Church is going to the most serious crisis, I keep repeating, of our 2,000 years of history. And it is mainly a crisis of faith. Surrounded as we are on all sides by widespread dissemination of the untruth, we are explaining how our faith, the power we received when we were baptized, that power to believe is a voluntary power. We are free to believe or not believe. Not, of course, as we say, morally free. We are supposed to believe, but we are physically free. Those who believe who want to believe, and those who do not want to believe do not believe. And during this retreat, whatever I recommend that you resolve, be sure to make acts of faith, not just once a day, but every time that your faith is tested and tried. If your lives are like mine, our faith is tested more than once, dare I say, many times a day. I was teaching here in Chicago, teaching my own Jesuits in Hyde Park. My first Jesuit superior was a priest who left the Jesuit order, left the priesthood, but for years he was my superior. When we closed our seminary in Chicago, I moved to New York, and there, talk about God's mysterious providence, my first superior in New York, again a Jesuit priest, left the Jesuit order and left the priesthood. And for years he was my superior. When we say our faith is voluntary, we must want to continue believing in spite of, what a safe statement, in spite of the widespread temptations against the faith to which we Catholics are being subjected day after day. Our power of believing is infallible. And my favorite synonym for infallible is our faith is irreversible. What the Church has taught over the last 2,000 years remain unchangeable and therefore irreversible for the next 2,000 years, even to the end of the world. And not the least test of our faith is what we see and hear and read. Oh, what a blessing to belong to a parish where on Sunday mornings the priest is giving his homily and telling you exactly what the Catholic Church believes. How well I know how the faith, I dare say, of millions of believing Catholics in our country is being tested, tried. When we are repeat, hear, see, read. Things which are contrary to the faith that should be learned in childhood. Is Jesus Christ still present in the Holy Eucharist? Yes. But then, if Jesus is present in the Blessed Sacrament, should we not, say we used to, should we not genuflect before the Blessed Sacrament? Of course. You won't expect the next question. How many of you, as a resolution in this retreat, promise our Lord you will always genuflect before the Blessed Sacrament for the rest of your lives? Put up your hands. You know what I'm saying, don't you? That is why I was twice called by the Holy Father to come to Rome. And as I've said more than once to some of you, Pope John Paul II told me to his private secretary, do everything you can to preserve the faith of your Catholic people and the real peasants, because, and I'm quoting the Vicar of Christ, I fear for the survival of the Catholic faith in many of your American dioceses unless their faith in the real presence is restored or has been lost or strengthened where it has been weakened. That is why, my dearly fall, we plan to start a nationwide program of Eucharistic education in the United States. And I'm happy to report, strongly backed by, supported by, His Eminence Cardinal George of Chicago. How important is our virtue of faith? Our faith is not only important, it is indispensable. Our faith is the foundation of everything in Christianity. Of everything. Our faith